Welcome to Markets Now. I'm Michelle Rook along with John Payne with Hedgepoint Global Markets. And we're seeing a little bit of a strength in the grains this morning. Cattle futures, mostly lower as well as hogs. And John, let's talk about soybeans first of all, because we had taken some weather premium out, but back above the $15 mark yesterday, the meal market is moving higher. How important was it to close above 15 and what's going to keep us going here?
I think it's a nice bounce for the technical traders to kind of confirm their bias here. I think soybean meal is the linchpin on soybeans. You know, more in the front of the curve. Back of the curve, we got a lot of arguments about what Brazil's, you know, numbers are going to look like down the road. But short term here, we're hearing tremendously bullish signs on the meal side, specifically out of Argentina. They're buying from Brazil, which is, you know, soybean meal is an Argentinian product. And they're buying imports from other countries in South America. Points towards not only the problems they're having with their growing season, but just the logistics of participating in the Argentinian markets right now. You know, they've got to essentially goose their markets on the exchange rate just to get any product move. You have to wonder what the crush margins are really looking like for folks who are using beans within Argentina. So, you know, the meal caught a lot of us off guard earlier in the, late winter when we had the RFS announcement. Bean oil fell apart from 70 cents down to 60 cents, and then the meal shot higher from 400 a metric ton, almost to 500 a metric ton. And now we're essentially holding levels. So the fireworks for me will be in a couple of weeks as we go into the March delivery. I'm very interested to see how that trades. And I don't think you're going to see the front month bean contracts move too far south until we get some sort of announcement on U.S. growing season. I've seen some wild expectations. I'm here in Des Moines right now where you got economists across the states here putting out some numbers. And I mean, it's bananas to hear people talk about 95 to 100 million acres of beans. Yeah. If that happens, we're bearish, but I don't buy it. I think you'll still see 92 of corn. And I think beans are going to have to fight for it here.
You bet. So not only are we seeing the problems with Argentina bear out, but also exports have been pretty good on the weekly report this morning. We've had some flash sales coming at the market too, haven't we?
Yeah, 6 days in a row. I think my morning call, we try to track all this. 6 days in a row, we've seen corn and beans. So demand is good. Demand is good. I'd like to see the ethanol price, be supported by higher energies if you're a bull. But at this point, you've got the case can be made here for the March and May contracts to be bought. And watch delivery here for the March contract. I think that will tell us a lot. We've seen spreads really widen out with the July and the September and the December futures contracts for December, or for corn rather, are losing pace to those front month contracts. So we call them CSOs. They're a position you buy that tracks just that spread. I think that's a really good opportunity here for, you know, the May versus September, May versus December spreads. And then you kind of cross your fingers and see what happens with the ag form in a month. But in the short run here, demand is good. You know, crush margins are good, especially for the livestock or for the cattle side.
You bet. So as far as the corn market, are we going to get back above $7, do you think, here or not?
I don't think you see it quite yet. I think we need to see a beginning problem to the Brazilian growing season, and that'll start off here. So Mato Grosso is harvesting. You're going to hear a lot of talk, I'm sure, as you do your reports about South American harvest progressing. The big areas we watch are in Mato Grosso and in those areas that, you know, they're going to harvest a record bean crop, but then they got to get corn behind it. And so, you know, it's really quite laughable to look at the production numbers increase year over year in Brazil and the carryover not increase at all. And you kind of wonder, what would this look like if we weren't blowing out acreage year over year in South America? I think we would see a much more volatile market. And that's where the buy side here, and I'm at a pork show in Des Moines this week, you know, trying to talk producers into trying to look at margins here a little bit better, and specifically deferred contracts, because that's where the margin exists right now. And we're seeing that margin squeeze for the feeder as we get closer to delivery.
So wheat market taking off here. Some of this has been some short covering, some technical buying, but there's a little bit more to it. I mean, we're down at a price where we're stimulating some export demand, aren't we?
Yeah, you're stimulating demand everywhere. I mean, go price some hay in Texas. You can price hay in Texas, I think, more expensive than milling wheat at this point up in Kansas. I mean, you're talking $200 a metric ton, $300 a metric ton. That's $8 wheat on the hay side. So, you know, wheat, I think, has a floor here, at least in the shorter run. We do have insurance prices being set for those July new crop producers. In the coming weeks. But the story, in our opinion, is still out of the export markets. You look at India over the last couple of days, kind of flashing some signs that, supplies are tight there. You had US GDP out this morning that was very good. So we're going to consume. Like consumption should be steady here. And now it's about growing more. And the market has gotten some news over the last couple of days that we're going to see more US acres. I'm of the camp, though, that knows the farmers out in the areas that are going to increase wheat acres, and a lot of them are just putting the seed out, you know. So I wonder how the production numbers will look, especially if we don't get any change in weather patterns in the Texas Panhandle up north into Kansas over the next couple of months.
Yeah. And to your point, I know the prices for wheat are very high in India right now, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, and last summer, I mean, when the war started, everybody was like, oh, India is going to come and just take the market share because they have all the supply. Well, they did that, and then they sold out. And now you're seeing Australia start to do that a little bit. And, you know, the Americans, I kind of wonder what if this is strategic or what. But, like, our hard red wheat price just stays hovered above a level that is going to keep exports from moving. And you wonder if we ever do get cheap enough. For example, the last couple of days, we've seen markets break down to that $8 price level. Do we see some big buying coming in? And I think that's what we're seeing right now.
Cattle market, we're scoring contract highs in the back months, and the premium is obviously back there. So what are your suggestions to producers right now as we go ahead and we get into those, we're going to get into those tighter supplies?
Yeah, the challenge is replacements. And, you know, you look at where the feeder markets are. It's not a market that's shot up to the moon where the front month contracts are allowing you to re-own cheaper. If I have guys selling off the April board right now to take a position on down and they want to re-own it, they got to go out to the SEP and it's like 15 over. So you've got a structure that remains the same up front as we do in the back. Feedlot margins are amazing. They're amazing. If you look at the CME board, now basis changes that a little bit, but even with that, the live price staying high and the feeder markets coming down has created a very nice profit margin for the feedlots, a little bit of leverage for them. So the question is, how long does it last and what do you do with these deferreds? Specifically, like the Feb in April of 24, I mean, we're trading at levels that are record high. Now, it's not front month record high, but if you sold 170 right now on the April board, you're selling, and we stay here, that's the best price anybody's sold ever. So, you know, I know putting your neck out right now is a scary thing, but in the long run here, it's about consumption. I think the beef prices have found some levels where they're having resistance to it. Packer margins are getting squeezed. But the feedlots are holding out, and you saw that in the marketing numbers last week.
Yeah, well, so we'll see what happens with cash this week and if we can get some firmer prices. I know we've been sloppy the last couple of weeks. A lot of guys just wanted to get some of those cattle gone. So.
Yeah, I've heard this morning, and we're talking on Thursday morning, the you know, early bids are being passed on by the Packers. So 156, I think, was what I heard. So a light trade maybe there. So again, the leverage exists in the front, in the middle of the curve at the feedlot margins. And that's really where, you know, it's good to be a feedlot at this point.
You are at Iowa Pork Congress and of course, talking to a lot of pork producers, but as I watch the board here, we've been pretty much in a downward channel and we're down again this morning. Yeah. Where do we find support here, John?
Well, I'd like to think $80 in the April contract should hold here. You know, the June at 102, there's value there. You know, it's the takeaway from here is like, all right, what's soy meal looking like in the corn prices? I think that's more of a challenge for the producer. For me, it's look at October and look at December. You know, if I'm going to gamble, I'm gambling on the summer contracts. You know, yes, we're 102. I think we'll see 120. But the question is that October and December, this is where I think you can get some value. You know, and right now we're 91 on the October. That's a very good price. If we can relatively rally up closer to 100, I think you see a lot of sales there. But in the near term here, you know, watch the cutout. I'm hearing that bellies are steady here, you know, in the mid to low 100s, 115. And I think you'll see, you know, pork find its level. I'd like to see the Chinese, you know, numbers improve. And that's, you know, I think what we're fighting right now.
Right. So cotton is up pretty strong this morning and crude oil's up and we've got some of the outside market strength maybe spilling over there as well. But we're also talking about some much smaller acreage. And so do you see this price trend continuing? Are we going to continue to see higher prices on cotton?
Well, the export numbers are telling us that the cotton markets from, we'll call it November through early January are done. You know, China is woken up here. We're hearing merchants in Turkey are waking up. You know, the economies, and we have these numbers this morning, are doing okay. I think the market finds itself in a point where it's like, oh, you know, the storm has passed. And now we're, you know, it's amazing how quickly optimism can set in. And I think that's the cotton trade right now. I think deferred is a good opportunity to buy. I think the real question, though, is the acreage number. And, you know, farmers will tell you 88 cents, or, you know, universities say 88 cents is where we need to be in December to make money. I think we'll see that level at some point here in the near future.
Okay, thanks for joining us, John Payne, with Hedgepoint Global Markets here on Markets Now.